Time is now 3:29, and we welcome into the studio our own local sports expert, Mr. Michael Coe. Michael, how's it going today?
It's going well, Andy. I hope you had a relaxing Memorial Day holiday weekend.
I did have a relaxing Memorial Day holiday weekend with surprisingly little sports involved in it, actually.
Yeah, with the rain-soaked baseball at the DBAP, there wasn't much to do.
I kept turning on the radio and being like, I'm looking out the window while listening to this game happening. I'm like, how is this game happening?
They just slogged through it. I think if they didn't have to play those games, they probably wouldn't have. But it would have been a bad look for the ACC to cancel that tournament.
Yeah, nobody wanted that, but it was still like, you know, it was like maybe it's not raining as hard in Durham as it is here.
It looked pretty bad on TV.
Absolutely. But the ACC tournament has concluded. Let's go ahead and talk baseball since that's where we started. What are we looking for in Terre Haute this week?
Well, I don't know, Andy. You've been to Terre Haute, not me, so maybe you should be telling me this. But yeah, Carolina, the number 3 seed in the Terre Haute Regional hosted by Indiana State University. Bit of a surprise, Carolina was the number 3 seed. Most projections had them as a number 2. But that is still a pretty strong regional because you have Iowa, a team who won 40 games in the regular season as the number 2 seed. So that should be a very competitive 2-3 game. Indiana State taking on Wright State in the 1-4 matchup earlier that day on Friday. And I think either Iowa or Carolina has a really good shot of coming out of this region. A lot of people thought that Indiana State shouldn't even have hosted in the NCAA tournament. They thought that spot should have gone to Campbell, who is instead going to Columbia, South Carolina to play in that regional, which also features NC State and should also be really competitive. And that's just the real beauty of the NCAA baseball tournament. You see it every year that several hosts do not even make it out of their own region. We saw it last season. That was the reason Carolina hosted a Super Regional at the Bosch, was because Arkansas went to Stillwater and beat Oklahoma State. So it's really all bets are off in this tournament.
You're going to sit there and disrespect the Sycamores like that?
Well,
the tree, Michael Coe. Fear the tree.
You, a loyal IU alum, disrespect the Sycamores all the time.
That's true. So. Larry Bird's not walking out on that pitching mound.
That's right.
But to your point where we had some hosts not making it out of the regional last year, in order for us to see any more games at the Bosch, if Carolina made it out and a 4 seed made it out of a different regional, would we potentially see some games here still?
Yes. It would have to be the 4 seed in Arkansas's regional. Arkansas is the number 3 overall seed coming out of that regional. I'm not sure if the 3 in Arkansas's regional is a higher national seed, because if it's like 2 number 3s, then it's the higher national seed because they go in order. So I'm not sure if that would be the case, but to guarantee it, you would need the 4 seed coming out of the Fayetteville, Arkansas regional, which not very likely because Arkansas is a threat to win the national championship.
Right, so that would be a pretty huge story.
Yeah.
Also, it's fun for us to sit around in the studio and talk about it, but I'm sure Coach Forbes would say we're focusing on one game at a time.
That's right, one game at a time.
So speaking of focusing on one thing at a time, let's actually transition over to golf, where it was a pretty wild start to the week for the UNC men's golf team out in Arizona.
Yeah, really eventful times out at Greyhawk. They made it to match play once again for the third consecutive season, nearly lost their opening match play quarterfinal for the third straight season, but ended up pulling that one out against Arizona State. And one thing that I did not realize, Andy, is that they play the quarterfinals and semifinals on the same day. It's a doubleheader.
Seems grueling, doesn't it?
Yes. And, you know, golf's not the most aerobic or grueling sport, but you do anything 36 times in a row, you're going to be tired by the end of it. And yeah, Carolina just, it seemed like they ran out of steam against Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech's really good. They won the ACC tournament, and they are playing in the national championship match, I believe, right now against the University of Florida. But yeah, that was just, they just ran out of steam at the end, didn't make quite the quality of shots that the Yellow Jackets were making out there. So a tough ending to the year, but still a great year for the men's golf program. Their best under Andrew DiBattista as a head coach, and their best overall since 1993, according to Steve Kirshner of the SID.
Great year. They had a stacked roster all year, so you kind of expected great things, but still fantastic performance there. And as you were saying, it was pretty late by the end of that.
Yeah.
Since they were playing two match play rounds there back-to-back. Also, some of the still, I didn't watch any of it. I know it was on the golf channel, but I didn't see any of it. But the still shots that I saw, it just looks hot. I mean, that course is in the desert. There are cacti all around.
Well, it's a dry heat.
Right,
so, yeah, I mean,
right,
people joke about that all the time. But yeah, it is. It's assuredly uncomfortable out there in Arizona as we hit the early stages of summer. And yeah, it's just the NCAA championship from the beginning of the first round of stroke play to the end of match play. I believe it's 6 days because you have four rounds of stroke play, one on each day, and then 2 days of match play. So you're out there golfing every day for long periods of time for almost a week, and that exhausts you by the end of it.
It's definitely exhausting, and at the same time, it's they're college kids playing golf.
So. That's right, yeah.
It's like they're living the dream. They're fine.
Yeah. Check your privilege.
That's right. So let's talk about some sports that aren't going on at all right now. Let's talk football. We got some pretty exciting football news out of the gate this afternoon.
That's right. Kickoff times and broadcast information announced for the first three non-conference games for Carolina. I think the big one that everyone is eyeing is the opener against South Carolina in Charlotte on September 2nd. National TV audience in the primetime slot, 7:30 p.m. ABC. This is ESPN, the higher up, saying, we want to see Drake May on national television. They have been pushing Drake May this offseason. They included him in their promotional materials for the season. So they know that people want to see Drake May. They know that NFL people want to see Drake May. And Spencer Rattler's no joke, too. The South Carolina quarterback, South Carolina had a heck of an ending to last season. They beat Tennessee and then Clemson in back-to-back weeks. Tennessee and Clemson were top 10 teams at the time. So I think the Gamecocks and the Tar Heels will both be ranked in the preseason. So it should be an exciting game. Always rowdy when those two teams get together.
Pretty strong football name there, too.
Yes, Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, seems like it's manufactured.
Yeah, he was a highly rated recruit coming out of high school, maybe off of that name alone. But
that's right.
Yeah, it's been a crazy career for him. He started out at Oklahoma, then lost that job to Caleb Williams, who also transferred away from Oklahoma that same offseason. So yeah, definitely a long and winding road for Rattler, but he seems very at home with the Gamecocks.
At what point do we find out if this is actually a game day game?
That will be closer to kickoff, so I wouldn't anticipate anything about that until August. But you never know, since it's the first week of the season, game day might announce it earlier than they would, say, a week five game or something like that.
It's also like it's going to be that game, right? There's not like another logical choice.
The infrastructure is there for it to be the college game day game. Most of the other great week one games are taking place either on Friday or Sunday or Monday. Clemson is playing at Duke on Monday. LSU and Florida State, I believe, are playing on Sunday. So I don't think game day would be there. I would think they would want to go to the Saturday game, which is generally what they have done for week ones past.
That's the way it should be.
Yes.
Absolutely. We buried a bit of the lead here. This is Chapel Hill. We are talking UNC, and we got some huge and exciting basketball news this week.
Yes. Yeah, Elliot Cadeau reclassifying. He may not be the only one who's reclassifying. Stay tuned for that. But yeah, definitely a welcome addition to the Carolina roster that struggled with assists last year, and Cadeau comes in at being known for his elite assist skills. So certainly a welcome addition. I'll be excited to see how he pairs with RJ Davis in the backcourt. It will be a smaller two-guard lineup, but it'll be electric, that's for sure.
Oh, I love me a pass-first point guard. That's one of my favorite things in basketball, and it's something that would look very nice on a Carolina team. Would have looked very nice on last year's team.
Yeah. That's the Bobby Knight coming out of you, I guess.
It is.
I want
pass-first point guards and good perimeter defense.
Yeah, Cadeau, I mean, to call him just a passer would be very much pigeonholing him. He is absolutely dynamic with the ball in his hands and as a scorer at the rim. Just looking at some of the high school highlights of him, it's really outstanding stuff. He might be one of the best playmakers to come through Chapel Hill in recent seasons, so certainly excited to see how he fits in to the roster.
And then you were kind of alluding to this earlier, but there's I'm forgetting the name right now, but a player out of Pittsburgh that's considering both reclassifying and committing to Carolina. So those are pretty big, intense life decisions for a 17-year-old to be making, right?
Yeah, he's taking an official visit to Chapel Hill. I believe it was either yesterday or today that he was taking that visit. And usually if a school is your last official visit, it's sort of like, you know, prove it. You know, that's sort of the one that everyone has their eyes on. Maybe this is the one. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll definitely keep our fingers on the pulse of social media and Twitter and all that. But definitely exciting times to be Hubert Davis.
Athletics aside, how awesome would it have been when you were a senior in high school to just be like, you know what, I'm going to reclassify and just go to college right. now.
Skip my senior year of high school.
I just kind of don't want to be here anymore. I'm going to go ahead and go to college now.
These kids have all the fun. And yeah, I love Cadeau's quote. You know, just I just felt like I didn't really need another year of high school. So I'm going to college early. Yeah,
many,
man, that would have
been
nice.
Many high school seniors had that thought, basketball unrelated.
Yes, yes.
I don't think I need another year.
Yeah. And also with basketball, the Tar Heels announced the official signings of their four transfers from the transfer portal. And Hubert Davis gave some quotes about each one. And I think the overriding theme of his little blurbs about each of those quartets is that he really values versatility and he really values basketball IQ. And that sounds very cliched, but... you saw some times last year where Carolina didn't show the highest basketball IQ. Let me put it at that. And a lot of the guys maybe weren't as good at a lot of things as Hubert Davis would have liked. So certainly, you definitely see a trend as to the players that he brought in.
And you're right, it's a bit of a cliche, but it's also there's a train of thought too where it's like, I'm going to take the best athlete, I can teach basketball, and that does not appear to be what Hubert Davis wants right now, which I can respect.
Right, and three of them have played against Carolina in the past 2 years, i.e. against Hubert Davis' coach team, so he already has a scouting report that he's seen with his own eyes. And Harrison Ingram, the other one, was someone who was heavily recruited by Hubert Davis in Carolina and ended up going to Stanford initially. So definitely players that have that connection already there.
Do a little math with me here. I haven't quite sorted this out yet. With Cadeau coming, there's still one empty spot. There's two empty spots. So we've got
yes.
the spot for what's, do you know off the top of your head, the student from
Jaren Stevenson.
Jaren
that's
Stevenson.
His name.
So if Stevenson were to come, there's still technically an open scholarship to be
right.
distributed one way or another.
Right. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how he plays with that. He could also just leave it open. Teams have done that in the past. The women's team had multiple scholarship spots open this past season, but now they're chock full to the gills.
Yeah, that worked out well
yes.
for this year. Because they just keep plucking them now.
Right, yeah, they have a heck of a team, and it's really going to be exciting to watch them.
Yeah, we're almost out of time here, but I didn't actually get to talk to you yesterday, and I wanted to kind of get an insider's take on this. Like, how good is that UNC women's basketball team going to be next year? Because at this point, it's like the season ended, and we're just like, let's add a bunch of 5-stars and see
yeah.
what happens.
Yeah, I think Courtney definitely knows that Deja Kelly, this is going to be her last season in Chapel Hill because she will be draft eligible after this. And I think she's going all in on this. It's championship or bust. And they have the roster to win a national championship. That is no hyperbole. They have, as you said, 5 stars everywhere and some rock solid veterans coming back. They are going to have a challenging schedule, which has been the theme under Courtney Banghart. But I really do believe that they can compete not just for an ACC title, but for a national title.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be top 5 preseason, right?
Maybe. I think they have so many different faces and transfers coming in that they may be a little undervalued just because we haven't seen how they work together. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're maybe in the bottom half of the top 10 or maybe even in the teens because they only made the second round last season. But I think once they start playing the actual games, we'll see what they're made of.
Right. And they had some well-documented injury issues in the middle of last mm-hmm. season. And that seems like that would be a little bit less of a roadblock this year with as stacked as that roster is.
Yeah, yeah. Missing Eva Hodgson and Alyssa Usby for several games right in the middle of the ACC season did not help their cause. I think they felt they should have been higher than a 6 seed. And maybe if they don't have those injuries, they are higher than a 6 seed. And like I mentioned earlier, they had a relatively shallow roster. I mean, they had a scholarship spot taken up by a player who only played in, I think, a couple of games last season. That's nothing against Ariel Young. She was a valuable part of the team. But at the end, you need people who can get on the floor and make baskets. They definitely have much more versatility, as I alluded to earlier with the men's team for this upcoming season.
All right, Michael, thank you so much for taking some time to hang around and jump on the mic with us.
Yep, thank you, Andy.
Got a lot more news on the Hill coming your way. Stay tuned.